Ephesians chapter 5. As you're turning there, we're on a series called The Walk right now. We're looking at many of the verses in the New Testament that refer to our walk. 2 weeks ago, on Mother's Day, we had Walk in Love. Thought that would be appropriate for Mother's Day. Last week was our graduation Sunday, and we had Walk in Truth, because that is so important. Today is Memorial Day weekend, and for Memorial Day weekend, I wanted to do Walk Circumspectly. Walk circumspectly, and somebody's phone's going off there. I hope that's not my phone. 3400. It's okay, it wasn't my phone, it was my watch. That was awful strange. I was going, who is that? Well, good thing I didn't jump on anybody, right? Well, almost want to just have an invitation and close the service right now, don't we? All right. I didn't hear a single amen with that, so that means to keep going. Thank you. All right. You had your chance. Now I've totally lost my train of thought. But we will get it back right now. I thought on Memorial Day weekend, we honor those who have fallen, those who have died in service to our country. And I remember seeing a video that somebody had posted on Facebook, and it was two videos, one at the top and one at the bottom. And the video at the top showed people at a beach today, and it said, "You can enjoy your day at the beach." And then the one at the bottom was D-Day, and it says, "Because of their day at the beach." And there were people who have given their lives so that we could be here doing this today. And we will always be grateful for that. Always be grateful. And so this morning we're going to look at walking circumspectly. If you'll look in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Notice he says, "See that you walk circumspectly." And I've said this to you before, that word, you just break it down. Circumference. That means all around, spectly, to watch. And it has the idea the word precision is, the idea is precision of circumspectly. It's precision when we walk. So think about that for a moment. When we're talking about circumspectly, we're talking about precision. This is not casually strolling down the street, la-di-da. And you know who I think of when I think of people who walk that way? I think of children. Children just walk and run around like there's not a care in the world. And parents are always having to say, "Hey, stop, don't run out in the street, be careful, watch out." Because kids are just, boy, they're having the time of their lives. And I say part of that is because they're so short and they can't really see what's out there. You know, that's why when I drive down a street and there are cars parked on both sides of the streets, I just automatically slow down. Because you never know. Somebody might come running out from behind a car, and you don't want that to happen. I had a young man that lived down the street from me. I went to elementary and junior high with him. And one morning he got on his skateboard on his stomach, went out of his driveway, and got hit and killed by a car. And I never forget that, because I was thinking, you know, they were saying, well, it's obvious he wasn't paying attention. He wasn't paying attention. Well, that's the idea behind this word circumspectly, precision, paying attention. And you know why we have to be precise? We have to be precise because the devil is walking too. Now, in all this, we've been talking about our walk. Walk in love. Walk circumspectly. Walk in truth. And we're going to be over several more of these. But did you know the devil is walking too? Let me read to you from Job chapter 1 and verse 7. It's up on the screen here. "And when the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Folks, Satan's walking too. In fact, the very next chapter, except for one word, it's the exact same verse. And the Lord said unto Satan in Job 2:2, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Folks, the devil is walking too. He's walking too. What is he doing while he's walking? 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Look at the next two words. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's walking about right now. Satan is walking to and fro on the earth. He's trying to destroy. He's trying to mutilate. He's trying to kill. And listen, he's after you. He's after you. Many of you have seen these documentaries and National Geographic films about how lions get their prey. And the first thing they always show is that the lion is hidden in tall grass, which is, by the way, why you'll find no lions in West Texas. Because all you got is flat land out there. The lions would starve to death because every animal could see them coming. But the animals, the lions would hide in the tall grass, and they would wait till their prey would come, and then they would leap out, grab one of them, generally the weakest one they could find, and they had a good dinner. And folks said, it's at that point that the lion roars. Lions don't roar while they're hiding because they would give their presence away. And I want to tell you this, the devil is roaring like crazy today. Amen. He's catching people. He's destroying people. He's devouring people. And listen, don't let him do that. Don't let him do that to you. But how can we avoid that? How can we walk circumspectly? Got three simple points for you this morning. Number one is this, we need to wake up. Look again in your Bible, if you've still got it open, in Ephesians 5. Look up at verse 14, one verse before what we have read here. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Listen, the very first thing I can tell you is this, wake up. Wake up. Folks, we're not living in the same times we were living in 30 or 40 years ago. Folks, we're not living in the same times we were living in 5 years ago. We live in a wicked world. And I want to tell people we need to wake up. I hear people say all the time, boy, I can see the signs of the Lord coming at any moment, but it doesn't affect them enough to even to get to church. Folks, if the Lord's really going to come, we need to wake up. And this verse was taken from Isaiah chapter 60, where the prophet wrote, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Man, wake up. Wake up, folks. We are living in dark days. We are living in days where some politicians want to allow abortion after the baby is born. Folks, how in the world? I had a good friend of mine on Facebook, and he said 30 years ago, he was telling people who were pro-abortion, he said, it's going to get to the day that a baby will be born alive, and at that point, they'll let the mother make the decision. And he said he got laughed at and mocked, and that folks were there. We're there. We're there. We live in dark times. Here's what Paul said to the Romans in Romans 13, and that knowing the time that now it is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Folks, what word in that, and I need you to say it out loud, what word in that verse describes when we should wake up? Now. Folks, now. Not this Thursday, not next month, right now. Right now. And I would say that this verse could apply in two ways. First, I believe it could apply to those without Christ. Because in verse 14 of Ephesians 5, he said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Folks, that describes salvation there. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you know what you need to do? You need to wake up and get saved. You need to wake up and get saved. Folks, we are coming toward the end, and we're going to see this more in a minute in the message. But you have to understand, Christ came to die on that cross. And while he was on that cross, he took your sins and my sins upon himself. And all he wants us to do is trust him, believe him, that he truly is the Son of God who became our sacrifice, and believe that he rose from the dead. And the Bible says you'll be saved if you do that. As someone said, the ABCs are simple. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe in Jesus Christ. C, confess it to him. God wants you to be saved today if you're not saved. Are you on your way to heaven? You say, I don't know if I am or not. Well, good. Listen to the next 2 minutes here very carefully. You have sinned. I have sinned. We have all sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ has made a way for us to be in heaven for eternity by sending Jesus to take your sins and my sins upon himself. I think everybody in here would acknowledge you're a sinner. I've never in my life had someone tell me, I am not a sinner. Because I believe that would be the greatest form of delusion in all of history, to say I'm not a sinner. We're all sinners. But Christ died to take your sins away. And you can be forgiven this morning if you simply ask him to save you, believing that he died on the cross to take away your sins, believing that he rose from the dead. But listen, I believe we can also apply this verse to Scripture, to the Scripture to Christians. Folks, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's right now. It's not next week. We need to realize we are not on a Sunday school picnic. We are in spiritual warfare. Amen. And folks, the devil cheats. He's going to win any way that he can. When I was a kid, I used to watch professional wrestling. That was when it was real, by the way. I even went to Will Rogers Coliseum to watch the Von Erich family. And I actually sat in just the right place where the camera was on me the whole time. And if you can find an old video of it, good luck to you. But I remember the biggest thing I remember about wrestling was the bad guys would always cheat. One guy would distract the referee, and then another guy would come in and pummel his head. And I thought, boy, if they ever did instant replay in wrestling, it would ruin the whole sport. But I would watch it, and I would say, why don't the good guys ever cheat? And the good guys never would. But folks, that's because we can't. All right? We have a code of conduct. The devil and his crew do not. We have a code of conduct with the Bible, but we need to wake up. And folks, secondly, we need to wise up. Look in verse 15 again. Look in verse 15 again. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Folks, we need to wise up. We need to realize what's going on around us. Warren Wiersbe said this, only a fool drifts with the wind and tide. A wise man marks out his course, sets his sails, and guides the rudder until he reaches his destination. That's what a wise person does. He makes sure that he has a path and he is on it. Folks, don't drift. Don't drift. In fact, that's what the Bible warns us about in Ephesians 4 when it talks about people tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch. And I'm talking about in the Christian realm when I say that, much less in the ungodly realm. But we need to realize that this is a time that we need to wise up. Folks, why in the world do we keep doing the same things wrong time after time after time after time? You know why? Because we won't wise up. I think I've basically figured out one thing about the devil. He doesn't get me in any new ways. He uses the same old tricks on me until I finally wise up. And folks, there's things he's been doing to me for 45 years that I still haven't wised up to. And folks, that's a shame. Don't Let him get you. By the way, we're also the problem ourselves, because the Bible says that we are drawn away of our own lusts. We all have our own little sins, our own little things that we like, and the devil knows what that is, and he can draw us away and get us to do wrong every time. But here's what Jesus told us in Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know what Christ is saying there? Wise up. Wise up. And that's why I want to tell you this. You need to be in God's Word every day. That's where we get our wisdom. I don't think there's anything wrong having some other book that you use. Many of you are going through the book that's on our back table there. 365 days of devotions about revivals that have happened in the world. Some of you may use our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with that. Please do. But first and foremost, you need to be in God's Word every day. That's where the wisdom is. That's where we learn. That's where we grow. And here's the last point I want to make. We also need to work up. We need to wake up, wise up, and work up. Look at verse 16 now. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now you say, where do you get work up from that? Well, I get it from John chapter 9 and verse 4. This is Jesus speaking. Listen to what he said. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know what Jesus was saying in that verse? I've got to redeem the time. I've got to redeem the time. And you look at the ministry of Christ, folks, 3.5 years of ministry. Look what he accomplished. I was thinking about this the other day, folks. If I had 3.5 years ministry here, I would have been gone 2 years ago. And I'm so thankful I didn't hear an amen when I said that. Thank you. 3.5 years, that's all his ministry was. And yet, look what he accomplished. And I'm not talking about just dying on the cross and rising from the... He had to get this group of men ready to carry on his message once he was gone. And folks, he didn't have a plan B. It was like, well, what if this doesn't work? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll come back again and have angels spread the news. No, it's like, this is my plan A. Men, women, you disciples of mine, you've got to take this message that I'm giving you and get it out. I have stuff to do while it's day, because soon it's going to be night and I'm not going to be able to work. And folks, one day, none of us are going to be able to do anymore. We have a wonderful group of people here that work in a ministry called Calvary Cares, and they go to our shut-ins. They go to our people who cannot come to our church service. There are many of those people who might say, boy, I can't get out and do what I used to do. In fact, there are probably many of us in here who are getting closer and closer to that point where we can't get up and get out and do what we used to do. Well, that should serve us as a warning then, folks, because the night cometh when no man can work. You're not going to be able to do anything for God once you're gone. Yes, you'll be taken to heaven, and yes, you will praise God for eternity and do for him up there, but your ministry on earth will be over. Here's the way it's worded in Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Notice what he says here. Folks, the night's far spent. We need to get moving, he says here. Folks, let me tell you, we have some ministries here that are hurting. And you know what the primary ministry that's hurting right now? Our outreach ministry. We're having fewer and fewer people show up for that. One time a month, we meet on a Tuesday night, and we give you plenty of notice for it, by the way. We meet on a Tuesday night, and folks, I realize there are reasons at times for not being there. I've missed before. If you've ever been on outreach, you've missed before, I guarantee it. But it gets so easy not to come once you miss, doesn't it? gets so easy. By the way, outreach is on June 11th. Just thought I'd throw that in. June 11th. 6 p.m. meal, 7 p.m. we go out. I said to you earlier that just as we are told to walk, the devil also walks. But I might surprise you with this. Did you know the devil also knows that he doesn't have all the time in the world? Let me read to you from Revelation 12:12. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the seal, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know why the tribulation is so awful, so horrific? Because the devil knows he doesn't have much time left. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy everyone he can in as short of time as he can. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. Well, folks, so do we. We just have a short time. I don't have all the time in the world, and neither do you. So what are we going to do about it? Folks, I want to tell you what we need to do. We need to walk circumspectly. That's what we need to do. I want to close with a true story that happened Christmas Day 2015. And here's the story. A man distracted by an electronic device. Let me translate that. He was texting on his phone. Fell 60 feet to his death off a California cliff on Christmas Day. The tragic incident happened Friday at 4:50 p.m. at Sunset Cliffs in San Diego when the man in his 30s tumbled over the edge, NBC San Diego reported. Witnesses stated seeing someone distracted by an electronic device and he just fell over the edge. He wasn't watching where he was walking. He was looking down at the device in his hand. Folks, the man's dead. You know why he's dead? Because he wasn't walking circumspectly. Now that's in the human realm. What about the spiritual realm? Folks, we can be killed just as easily spiritually if we don't walk circumspectly. What is it that we're supposed to be looking at? Well, the Bible tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible tells us to seek those things which are above, not that which is beneath. Set your eyes on things above. But spiritually speaking, many of us are like this. And hopefully it won't ring again while I'm doing this. But many of us are like this, and we're letting everything pass us by. We're letting life pass us by. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you looked over at four people sitting at a table all looking at their phones and not talking to one another? But folks, we do that spiritually as well. And I want to encourage you, walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. We need to wake up. We need to wise up. And we need to work up. Because our time is short. And I want to ask you this morning, will you trust Jesus today? And I ask that first to those without Christ. If you've never believed in Jesus, you could walk out of this building on your way to heaven. And all you have to do is ask Him to save you, believing that He died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. But I ask you, Christians, will you trust Jesus as well? Trust is not a one-time thing. We don't trust in Jesus once and then just walk away from Him. We have to trust Him every day. Make sure you get with Him every day. Christian, how is your daily walk with Jesus Christ? Because if it's not there, you will be a casualty. You will be the one walking off the cliff. Spiritually speaking. But it can all be settled if you just walk circumspectly. Stand with me at this time, please, and let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word this morning. It is often convicting, but Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to hear that our walk must be circumspect. We need to walk with precision. We need to get our eyes and our focus off of everything else and get them back on Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's someone here who has never been saved, I pray even now while I'm praying that they're praying too. And they're just saying, Father in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe Jesus died for my sins to forgive me. And I believe he rose from the dead and save me now. Lord, I just pray they'll just save a prayer like that. Say a prayer like that and be saved this morning. And Lord, for that Christian that's struggling, they would say that we live in the last times, but they don't live like it. Father, I pray you convict their heart. Help them to get right with you during this invitation. And bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, we invite you to come this morning. If you need to be saved, just come and I'll pray with you. I can have someone else take a moment and take the Bible and just show you in more detail what exactly Scripture says about salvation. Maybe there's some of you that want to make this your church home. This would be the time to do it. Maybe some of you have heard this and you said, I realize it's the last days, but I'm not living like it. You can come down to these altars right now and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to live for you. And you know what? He will forgive you and you can live for him.